I'm really immensely brilliant to have our first speaker here tonight, who is going to have to dash off back to Birmingham, a committed fighter against racism and war, and CAGE Outreach Director, Mozan Bey.
Soldiers often used to ask me, what's the best thing about England? And I'd say, jokingly, Scotland and Wales. The MI5 gave me all sorts of things. They gave me a hard time, they gave me interrogations, they gave me complicity in torture, and they also gave me a copy of this book. And if you could see it, I'd show you, it actually says stamped, approved by US forces. Many years later, after my release, I came and went on to Newsnight, met with Mr. Paxson for the first time, had this book with me. And I asked this question. For the first time in his life, Jeremy Paxson had nothing to say. I said, why do you think the security services of all people gave me a copy of your book? And he didn't know what to say. And he responded in the end by saying, I don't know why they gave me a copy of your book, but that's evidence of torture right there. The reason I chose this book is because he says in this book that the English people, the British people, have a tendency to support the underdog. Now, whilst I think that's a load of codswallop, if you look at history of what the empire has done, at least the notion, the idea, is something that we can all adhere to and think, yes, we all want to support the underdog, and the underdog is the one that is being targeted and being bullied and so forth. You all know now, obviously, what's happening in British politics and who the underdog is. And just so that you understand, in comparison to what's happening to Jeremy Corbyn, that it's the people that are celebrated in this country, in the media and by the politicians that are of luck, are the war criminals, are those who are complicit in torture, are those who gave us the preventive policy, which has created and tried to make our teachers and our educators into informants, and our students into suspects. And the people of that ilk are rallying together. It doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum they happen to be on. The people that voted for the war don't want a person with the integrity and the honesty of a man like Jeremy Corbyn coming into power. They don't want it at all, because that's why the knives are out. And I know this from a personal, from great personal experience, that you can come back from torture, and if you remain silent, it's all good. You're a good guy there. But if you start calling for accountability and justice and speaking truth to power, they will vilify you. They will target you. They will arrest you. They will do all sorts of things to you. But the one thing they cannot stand is that you keep standing up and standing firm, and you are patient in the face of adversity. And that, my dear friends, my brothers, my sisters, colleagues, and comrades, is that what we need to do. It is a great time of turmoil right now in the United Kingdom. And personally, I've never really been involved in any political party at all. that when the knives have come out in this way, when the vilification has come in this way, from such people who want to do away with the Human Rights Act, from such people who are our own mirrors of Donald Trump, just with better hairstyles. Some people might dispute me. Think about this, my friends. Chilcot's coming out next week. Yes. Is that perhaps the reason why all these coups are happening? Yes. Think about this also. The war on terror that began in 2001 has not ended because of our involvement in creating that war and that fiasco and that debacle that exists. In fact, if you look at what happened in Iraq, and as Obama has said recently, that the existence of ISIS there now is a consequence of, it's an unintended consequence. What do you mean by unintended consequence? When you go to war, the consequence is death and destruction and strife and the breaking apart of countries. Bombs of 15,000 pound daisy cutters is not unintended, it's very intended. It didn't just fall out of the plane by accident. And so, we're in a situation and a time now that our external policy has created such difficult and draconian internal policy. When the PREVENT policy, as we all know before, that was introduced by the Blair government, was already ridiculed and derided for being a failed, toxic brand, this government decided to make it into law and make it a statutory duty on our teachers, on our doctors, on our nurses, on everybody in the public sector to spy on those who they think are extreme. And what is an extremist? Let's just have it out. According to our Prime Minister, extremists are those who fail to adhere to the rule of law, the legal democracy, and show mutual respect. My best friend, is a man who was imprisoned in Guantanamo for 14 years without charge or trial. His children are all British and raised in this country and born. And the reason why he remained in Guantanamo for 14 years without charge or trial is because the British government was complicit in keeping him there and complicit in his torture, as his head was repeatedly smashed against the wall while British intelligence services watched. Now let's get back to the rule of law. Kidnap, rendition, torture are crimes. If I was to do that to any of you, I'd be prosecuted. Rightly so. If I was to watch while somebody else did it to somebody else, I'd be prosecuted for omission of my duty or being complicit in it. But because our security services have been involved in it, it's okay. Nobody's been prosecuted for these crimes to date. And it's from this culture of impunity that exists. You don't have to prosecute anybody involved complicit in torture. You don't have to prosecute anybody that's involved in the destruction of nations and killing hundreds of thousands of people. The reason why we went to war in Iraq was based on dodgy dossiers, but also on the torture of individuals. When I was held in the background detention facility, the CIA said to me, if you do not cooperate, we will do to you what we did to Ignacio and Libya, a Libyan dissident who was tortured into giving a false confession that Saddam Hussein was working with Al-Qaeda on obtaining weapons of mass destruction. Colin Powell used that statement at the Security Council in 2003 to argue and justify a case for war in Iraq, and the rest, as we say, is history. Out of that invasion, Al-Qaeda entered then into Iraq and became Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Then it metamorphosed into Islamic State in Iraq. And then after the Syrian war and revolution, it became Islamic State in Iraq and Sham, and then declared itself to be IS. 17 of the leaders of IS were held in Camp Buka in Iraq in 2007-2008 and were tortured by the Americans. Think about this. When they dress the prisoners and execute them horrifically, barbarically, wearing orange suits, we thought perhaps that there's some kind of bizarre solidarity with the Guantanamo prisoners, but that's not true at all. They were dressed in orange suits themselves. they are reaping back what they learnt in Abu Ghraib and in Booker and elsewhere. In 2010, Obama blocked the publication of images from Iraq, which showed the abuse, the torture, and the rape of women and children. Because he said, and I quote, that it may damage our war effort and bring harm to our soldiers. But the effort had already been damaged the moment you allow your troops to do something like this. Everybody in Iraq knows what happens, and that's the legacy. And so when we're talking about here in the United Kingdom, that people stood up and marched against the war in their millions, that I heard about in my cell in Guantanamo when I was in solitary confinement, it gave me the first ever ray of hope that I've said many times, that that war was taking place, but there were people in the streets that I knew so well in this country that I could be proud of, and you were amongst them. One of the few people that I've known from the beginning that's been campaigning and fighting for the people who've been dispossessed, the people who've been oppressed, the people who've been targeted, the refugees and the ordinary working man, Muslim communities and targeted criminalized communities, is Jeremy Corbyn. He was there campaigning for Shakarama when it wasn't fun, when it wasn't popular to do so. Mm. He was campaigning for Barbara Ahmed when nobody would stand with him. And so you see, when you've got a person like that of integrity, you've got somebody who stands up for principles compared to people who are simply career politicians. There's absolutely no contest. There's no contest at all. So I just want to say to remain upbeat. There are turbulent times ahead of us, but remain upbeat. Out of adversity, good can emerge. And if we're patient and we're true to our principles, in the face of hardship, we can achieve great success. Thank you.
School teacher, and we all know that we're going to be going out on strike next week.